So the title of my talk is Cultivating Compassion and Equanimity During This Global Pandemic. And before I begin, I want to offer a deep bow to Angie Martin. Because while I was, and she's here on the call too, yes, I thought I saw her somewhere. Angie, there she is. Hi. So as I was kind of starting to come together with things that I wanted to share, I happened to see this post that she wrote, and she quoted me in her post about one of the gathas that I offered. So then I had a look at it, and it's just so beautiful. So I think that Myoshin just put up the link in the chat if you want to go and look at it later. But I just felt, Angie, you did such a tremendous job in really opening your heart and thinking about what it is that we could do during this time. So basically, I'm going to share mostly her points that she made in her post, and then some other things that I'll add as well, my thoughts about some of the things that some of her bullet points, and then I have a few other things. So that my idea was that I would share that, and then I think we'll probably have some time for questions or comments after that. So the first thing that she suggested is give. So thinking about what it is that you have to give. That might not be the first thing you think of that could be helpful, but actually it's when we study the paramitas, dana paramita or generosity is the first one because it really helps us to open our hearts and minds. So thinking about what it is that you have to give, and if you have money, you can give money maybe to a food shelter or a charity, maybe some charities that are particularly helping with health care. And sometimes in a time of crisis, we have a tendency to I don't know, hoard or to be worried about will I have enough? And so that might not be your first impulse to give things away. But her recommendation, and I support it heartily, is to see if you can do that anyway. And if you don't have money or physical resources available, or if maybe you just can't bear to part with it, then think of something else that you can give, like compassion or humor or love. And this is really thinking about what can I do for others. So it's really helping us to release ourselves from a self-serving or selfish mindset. I really love the story of in Italy what people are doing. So there's, they're practicing social distancing, but some of you may have seen these Facebook posts that they're leaning out of their windows every day at 6 p.m. and singing songs. So it's a way of just really expressing that we're all in this together and really doing something that's about really gladdening the mind and lifting up the spirits. So we don't have so much a practice of singing in this country, unfortunately. And I'm not saying you have to sing, but it's just thinking about, can you do something that will uplift the spirits of others? So that's also a way of thinking about giving. And then, of course, washing your hands. So we can bring washing our hands into a mindfulness practice. So one of the emails I sent out had a little mindfulness prayer, particularly about washing your hands. It goes like this: as I mindfully wash my hands, I offer a wish for myself and all beings. May we take care of ourselves and one another, free from fear. And I didn't time that, but probably if you said it 3 times while you're washing your hands, it might be 20 seconds. I don't know. Someone could time it and let me know. Because that's the recommendation, is to wash your hands for 20 seconds. And washing your hands with soap and water actually dissolves the virus. So it's not just like washing it away, but it actually, it kind of debilitates it. That's what I read. And I really, when I wrote this gatha, I wanted to include the last line, free from fear, in there. So, because sometimes when we engage in things like washing our hands or wiping down surfaces or whatever, it's like we have a fear of the virus or a fear of getting sick. So as I mindfully wash my hands, I offer a wish for myself and all beings. May we take care of ourselves and one another, free from fear. And so, of course, even in that moment of washing our hands, fear could be arising, but we still can have this intention of taking care and releasing fear. And then Angie's next point was take care of yourself, which I also agree with. I have some other, some extra things under that point that from what she had, but basically eating healthy foods, exercising, getting enough sleep, staying hydrated, and getting outside in the fresh air. So even me, you know, I'm quarantined now, but I can actually go outside as long as I don't run into any other people. So we're strategizing, Seamus and I, how we can do that so that we can get some fresh air and get some exercise. So we're probably going to do things like drive to a park that's more remote where we won't run into people, and then we can walk around there. Or even just walking around in our neighborhood, but sort of making sure that we stay clear of everyone. So, you know, like crossing the street if there's someone else, but then saying, hey, we're just protecting you. So still being friendly about it. But I think, you know, taking care of yourself is a good practice any time, but especially in these times, because you will boost your immune system. So your body's ability to resist the virus will be stronger if you take care of yourself. So next is being mindful. So that can be checking in on how things are making you feel. And so Angie, I love this, that she said, remember, you do not need an hourly update on what is going on with COVID-19. Do not spend your days and nights sitting in front of your phone reading article after article, then talking to everyone around you about how stressed you are and making predictions about what will happen. Like, I mean, there's, of course, we can keep ourselves informed, but sort of recognizing when that that sort of healthy need to keep ourselves informed, or responsible idea of keeping ourselves informed, noticing when that veers into, this is just feeding my anxiety. This is just, this is not helpful anymore. This is making it worse for me. So just really noticing that, noticing what you're doing. And then I would also add being mindful, as I said before, is about stopping the chain of transmission. So really considering that each person you interact with is one more possible link in transmitting the virus. So again, if you can isolate, please do. And if you can't, I would recommend that you, especially if you're out and about, act as if the virus is on every surface that you touch. So this is really, it's not about like freaking out or being, you know, afraid, but it's just being very conscious, because it actually might be on every object that you touch. And I say during a pandemic that this is not overreacting. This is called damage control. And, you know, it's probably good during flu season to kind of consider the same thing, except of course the flu isn't as dangerous. So maybe we get sort of lulled, but, But yeah, it's a really great mindfulness practice. It's so interesting to do that. Like even just Seamus came home last night and my son and in my house, it's like, oh, okay, he touched that knob. Okay, I need to either wash my hands after I touch it or I have to wipe down with a, I do have a few antiseptic wipes that I bought before this all happened. Actually, I have kind of a big container because anyway, so that's good for me. But, you know, soap and water works to wash it off too. If you're in your house, it doesn't work so well if you're out and about. So our mindfulness can extend to this. And so it's like instead of having it be a chore or a scary thing, it's like, oh, isn't this interesting? Now I can bring mindfulness to this activity as well. Angie's next suggestion is take control of something. Of course, in a way, we don't ever really have control, but I think her idea of finding something small that you can do where you feel like, okay, this is something I can do to have some agency in my life. So it might be like cleaning out a junk drawer or mopping your floor. Or I would say maybe cooking delicious foods or just so something that you can do where, because so much of this is feeling like, oh, there's a lot of things that are completely out of our control. We can't actually do anything about. So then looking at, is there something in your life that you can do something about and then do that? And that might be really helpful to lift your spirits. And then there's finding creative ways to stay connected. So like this is one of them, our decision to, you know, do Dharma talks on Zoom. You could, if you're doing self-isolating or even just social distancing, not seeing as many people, doesn't mean you have to be disconnected. So you can use technology such as Zoom or Skype or FaceTime, connect with friends and relatives. You might even want to connect with them more than you usually do, because that could be helpful to you right now. And I love Angie suggested, write a love letter to your partner, even if they're in the next room. Of course, for me, I can write a love letter to my partner who's staying in a different place. So it's really looking at strengthening connections, texting people and checking in on them. Doing activities, if you have kids, doing art with your kids or playing with your pets. So the next thing is do something to keep the economy going. So this isn't the advice to like, yeah, we should all go shopping, but it's more like thinking about what could I do to support those who are affected by loss of income? So can I do things like, could I buy could I go online and buy gift cards from my favorite restaurant and then use that when this is all over? Or can I, do I have friends who have online businesses that I could support or just anything that I would usually, you know, so it's not going crazy, but it's with buying, but it's like just thinking strategically, consciously, mindfully, what can I do to help? And next is to be kind. So listen to everyone. Listen to the people who are suffering, who you come into contact with, either in person or virtually. Be willing to receive their emotions and your own. See if you can really let go of judgment. So I find for me, like there's judgment that's arising about like, why didn't our leaders, our government leaders take this more seriously sooner? Or why are people panic buying toilet paper? Or, you know, so I might have I might notice some judgments coming up about things that people are doing. So instead, being kind means recognizing that underneath people are scared. People are wanting to take care. Maybe people are selfish. Maybe they don't know a different way to be. And that it's actually not helpful for us to put ourselves above others and put others down, even if we just are doing that in our minds. So that's one side of being kind to others, or being kind. But then if we notice that we're doing that, if we notice judgments coming up, if we notice angers coming up, then we can be kind to ourselves. Say, oh, this is arising in me. I can forgive myself. And really part of being kind is just being present with our own or others' anxieties or fears. So can we just be there without needing to squash our emotions? So in the second email that I sent out recently, the one that was about us switching to all online, I offered another gatha that we can use when difficult emotions arise. So here it is. And you can look back at the email if you want the words to this later, or you can email me if you didn't get it. As I notice fear or anxiety arising in myself or others, I vow with all beings to breathe and be present with all that is, taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and carefully considering the appropriate response. So in the Sesshin, which we did some of it online, and we were looking at the koans of Yunmen, so the teaching stories of Zen ancestor, a Chinese ancestor, Yunmen. And one of his stories is a monk asks him, what are the teachings of a whole lifetime? And Yunmen answers, an appropriate response. So that's really what we're in, is what is the appropriate response. So next suggestion is share. So especially maybe if you did engage in panic buying and now have lots of something, think about sharing that with a neighbor, or dropping some off at a homeless shelter or a food shelf. And even if you're a bit uneasy about this because you did the panic buying because you were worried, you can still do it, or you can invite yourself to do it. And if you can't do it, you can have compassion for yourself. And then Angie's final point is escape for a while. So this is maybe like, okay, there's all these really very strong things that we can do, but sometimes we might just want to watch a TV show or read a book or play video games or do Sudoku or a crossword puzzle or play Scrabble. And taking a mental break from all of this, and all of this being, you know, all the coronavirus, all the, you know, trying to manage our thoughts and feelings about it. Okay, just taking a break. Taking a break, escaping for a while. This is part of right effort, because right effort or wholesome effort includes rest. So thinking about how we include rest in all of this is important. So two points that I would like to add to Angie's wonderful teaching. And again, Angie, thank you so much. This is really a treasure. So two points I would like to add is, one is remember impermanence. So I referenced this a little bit in the guided meditation. Things are always flowing and changing. So when something like a pandemic happens, then then we really wake up to that reality. We really see clearly, oh, things are changing. Things are so different now than they were 2 weeks ago. Wow. And I don't like it. That thought might come up too. But in 2 weeks from now, who knows? Things might be, you know, much worse. They might be better. We don't know. In 4 weeks, in 4 years, in 10 years, in 100 years, in 1,000 years, I mean, things will be different. Things are impermanent. And that impermanence is here all the time. And it's just when something, you know, dramatic happens, then we really notice it. But really the question is, all the time, how can we practice in the midst of impermanence? How can we continue to practice? So the instruction is, I'm not telling you this is how you can continue to practice, but it's a question. The practice is a question that you ask yourself. How can I practice in the midst of impermanence? And asking it over and over again. And, you know, sometimes an answer arises, and then you go with that. And then, because impermanence doesn't last forever, and then you have to ask it again, or you get to ask it again. So that's remembering and practicing with impermanence. And then the other thing is, invite yourself to have a big view. So Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, says you can look at the sky. Myosin reminded us of this when we were in our meeting the other day, that can be just a really helpful thing, just looking up at the sky. That's a way to remind yourself that the coronavirus or whatever might be troubling you is not the only thing in the world. There's also the sky, and there's the whole universe. And so this, to me, when I look at the sky, it's really a reminder, like, of vastness. So then I can see, oh, yes, there is vastness. And maybe I can even see or have an inkling of, oh, we really are in a vast and interpenetrated universe that's so beyond our ordinary view of reality or what we can ever grasp. Our minds can actually never grasp the vast and interpenetrated universe or reality in which we are. So looking at the sky or something else, you know, a large lake or, you know, whatever it is that helps you can be a way to invite yourself to have a big view. And I think I would like to end the talk just by reading a short koan from Yunmen from the Blue Cliff Record. So this is called, it's the 60th case. I actually won't say the name of it because the name of it's in the koan. It's really short. So here it is. Yunmen showed his staff to the assembly. So that's like the teaching stick. I don't have one here at home. But Yunmen showed his staff to the assembly and said, "The staff has changed into a dragon and swallowed the universe. Mountains, rivers, the great earth, where are they to be found?" So to me, this is really an expression of big view. And also, it's so impossible. A staff turning into a dragon and the dragon swallowing the universe. And then mountains, rivers, and the great earth and the coronavirus and our fears and whatever. Where are they now? So they're so vastly and profoundly interconnected that you can't see any one of them anymore. So that might be an image that helps you or not, seeing the dragon swallowing the universe. If it does help you, great. If it doesn't, just go outside and look at the sky. So that's all I got for my formal part of the talk. And we can open it up for comments. And there's a few ways that we can do this. So you can, if you're familiar with how to use chat, you can type a message to Chi or to everyone and just say, or you could write in your question. Or you could say, I'd like to be unmuted so I could talk. And if you don't know how to do that, you could raise your hand and we can deal with it that way if we have you on video. So I would just like to open it up to questions or comments at this time.
And this is Chi, and just so that everyone is aware, you're able to unmute yourself for this Q&A session. So just go ahead and mute and unmute once you are done asking the question. Thank you.
And if you don't know how to mute or unmute yourself, then you can ask for help too.
You need to talk. You
have a question? Coronavirus is getting worse.
Why is it getting worse?
The coronavirus is getting worse at this time.
Yes. Yes, it seems to be. It is getting worse at this time. That is true. So that is a challenge for us to receive our fears and anxiety about that. Not just receive them, but then also, like, what can we do? So it's first, it's receiving the fear, being willing to be present with it. And then if there's particular actions we can do, like not having as contact with as many people, washing our hands, etc., then we do those things. So it's like two elements. One is like the very practical, what we can do about it. And then the other thing is just noticing when our fear arises and being present with it. But we don't have to stay in the fear. And so that's where, like, looking at the sky or having a bigger view or just doing meditation where we're noticing our breath instead of just thinking about the coronavirus. So that can be helpful. Yeah. Is that enough, Victor? Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So how it closed this when done?
Pardon me?
How do I close?
Oh, how do you turn off the microphone?
Close it.
Oh, if you want to exit, you can exit.
Where?
If you hover on the screen and then at the bottom right, there's a place that says leave meeting. So you can do that anytime. Anyone can do that if you need to go. But I do invite you to stay also because, like, right after the Q&A, we'll have a virtual reception for Rachel. I think people will start coming on the call for that pretty soon. So, and who else has a question or a comment? Karine? Yes, hi.
Here, yes, it's Karin. I rudely put something at and I didn't mean to enter it. I was just going to save it for later. But anyway, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Interrupt via chat.
That's all right.
I thought something we could do is to support the eviction moratorium. Part of the economic result is that people may lose wages, can't pay their rent. Mm. I couldn't really believe this. I was so busy, like, considering buying more toilet paper that I didn't think about what might happen to people who might be laid off if, you know, food workers, restaurant workers, even on my own campus. I was so busy thinking about myself that I forgot that we could also support the ban on evictions.
I think that's a great idea. And I saw, I think last night maybe, you had a Facebook post on that. So maybe we can put that on the Clouds Facebook page so that if people are interested in helping with that, that they can do that. So what I don't know if everyone knows what Karine is talking about. There's a, the eviction moratorium, is that a city or is that statewide? Or national, what is that?
I think there's one in every city.
Okay.
if you just look up eviction moratorium, there's one in Minnesota. It looks like there's one in lots of places.
Okay. So the idea is that if people are laid off or lose income and then can't pay their rent or their mortgage payment or whatever, they wouldn't be evicted. They wouldn't lose their housing. Which, you know, I mean, it makes sense on so many levels, not just from a humanistic, you know, compassion level, but also from a strategic public health level, because if you have people being evicted, if you're talking about social distancing, and now people who were like staying in one place in their apartment now have to go and stay somewhere else with other people, then you're actually increasing the risk of transmission of the virus. So so it seems like it's on a few different levels, it should be easy to argue for supporting a eviction moratorium. So thank you. That's a good idea. So what else?
Thank you for hosting us online. I appreciate how easy, relatively easy it is to use. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I don't know if some people aren't as familiar with this, you can toggle the view so that, you know, sometimes you can have speaker view where just the person speaking like is large on your screen, or you can have a view that is a gallery view where then you can see like everyone, these little pictures of everyone, which is what I have, and it's pretty fun. It's not quite as nice as seeing everyone in the room in the Zendo, but it's still pretty nice.
It feels like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Or Hollywood Squares. Okay, so if you don't have a question, you can make a comment. You could check in on how you're doing.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Angie.
Hi, you're a star.
I know. I feel so honored. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I appreciated your additions, and I really appreciated Karen's ideas. I hadn't heard those before. So thank you, Karen. Also, could you talk a little more on about how this will look like during the week?
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I was going to say it earlier and I forgot. So we are going to do meditation starting at 6:30 a.m. So we'll be from 6:30 to 8, we'll be doing meditation and a short chanting liturgy. So I think we're going to do 35 minutes sitting, 10 minutes walking meditation. So then we're just kind of like on our own walking around our rooms, and then 35 minutes sitting, and then that will leave 10 minutes. And in 10 minutes, without having to do the incense and all the bowing and stuff, I think we'll just do our usual short morning liturgy, and that will bring us up to 8 o'clock. And then now the way we do it is Tuesday and Thursday is starting at 6:30, and Wednesday and Friday starting at 7. But I figure since there's no travel time, I'm willing to come in at 6:30 onto a call at 6:30 every day and do meditation. And I'm kind of looking forward to the opportunity to do longer meditation than we usually do. And similar to this, everyone will be muted when they first arrive. And so that means actually that you can come into the call, you know, come into the meditation anytime. So you don't have to worry if you're late, just come in. And we did this for some of the session participants. And it was, you know, it was really cool. So everyone's just sitting in front of their computer screen silently. And it's like your altar is everyone else that you're, you know, is there. And we just, you know, sit together. Someone is the Doan, so they are ringing the bells for the timing of it. And then also we do the chanting similar to how we did the chant where everyone is muted. So you just hear the Doan chanting and your own voice. And so we'll just try that. And so I have that in the mornings, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday early, although I might reconsider Sunday just because it's kind of with the 9 o'clock sitting on Sunday, it might be kind of a lot to be on Zoom for that long for me. So we can kind of play that by ear, but that's the idea for early Zazen. And then noon Zazen will just be sitting for half an hour together. And then the evening Zazen and Dharma talk, I think, Kikan will be mostly the host for that. I'll be in that meeting sometimes, but then sometimes I'm in the precepts class. And then when we switch to practice period, which actually that's pretty soon because that starts the end of this month, then for the Wednesday evening, for the every other Wednesday evening, it will be, everyone will just be in the practice period. We won't have a separate, here's the meditation, tea, and conversation for people not in the practice period, and here's one for people in the practice period. We'll just all be in it together. So the Wednesday evening will be a little more like this, except short. So we'll have sitting for 30 minutes and then a conversation, virtual online conversation for 30 minutes. And people can just bring their own tea, right? You're in your house, so you can make yourself a cup of tea and have the tea and conversation. So that'll be fun. And then for any of the other things like, you know, our board meetings, our Dismantling Whiteness group, the classes, all of that, there'll be links that that go out that for people to get in, zoom into those meetings that way. So that's the idea. And then also practice meetings can be done either by Zoom or other platforms. So does that answer your question? Did I leave anything out?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Will there be a different email for each event, or how do we know which link on Zoom to link?
Well, I did send out an email that had the links for the various, so like here's the link for the 6:30 sitting, here's the link for noon. If you didn't get that, maybe just email me separately. I can send it out. But also, the same information is if you go to the Clouds and Water website, on the front page, it has information. It says we're, you know, going to all online. And then there's a link to a PDF, which has then all of the information and the links. So you can access it that way as well. So I just have to mention, because I'm just so jazzed about this, I'm noticing Dick McMullen's background. It looks like he's like at a lake, you know, with nice bluffs in the background. And I messaged him. I said, how did you do that? Because I didn't think that that's where he is. And I guess there's some kind of setting for your video screen that you can do. So maybe next time, although I don't know, it's nice you can see my bookcase behind me and my jade plant, but it might be kind of fun to play around with it. Different backgrounds. So that's part of like being creative and having fun. Oh, look at what Toku did. She's in the universe. Do you see that? That's awesome. Okay, so I'm just proud, maybe other people already saw this, but since I'm, you know, I'm focusing on faces here, I just see now the comment that came in from Martha to everyone, so I'm going to read it. Martha says, I work at the Minnesota Department of Health, and I want people to know that our state agency is working overtime, staying connected to local public health agencies, national CDC, our healthcare system, and other key organizations, and is working hard to track and assess the coronavirus epidemic and determine what are the best ways to keep people safe in Minnesota. And I want to echo what Myoshin said in response to that, that, you know, I have a lot of gratitude for our public health workers and really would keep you in our prayers. So thank you. Well, we can probably do the closing chant, and then hopefully there's a few other people who are going to come on the call, including Rachel, because we're going to do a little virtual reception for her. Oh, interesting. Something is happening to my screen. So, Myoshin, are you going to will you lead the chant? Thank you.
Yes, I will, with Naomi's help. May the merit of this penetrate into each thing in all places, so that we and every being together may realize the Buddha way. Beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. I vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. The Buddha way is unsurpassable. I vow to realize it.
Thank you, everyone.